Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers, when you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, all you got to do is bet $5 on any college team to win, and you're going to get $200 in free bets instantly, win or lose. That's with promo code DNVR only on DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm your host, Patrick Lyons, and joining me today, as he does each and every week, the voice of the Colorado Rockies for AT&T Sportsnet, the host of the Drew Goodman podcast, it's Drew Goodman. How you doing this week, buddy?
Good, doing well. Long road trip, of which we're right in the smack in the middle, I guess, right?
That's it. Has the humidity been, this has been the humidity tour with New York, Atlanta, Cincinnati. Has it been okay? I haven't heard too many people complaining.
No, it hasn't been bad. I thought New York was beautiful. We always talk about running. You and I both like to run. You sweat a lot. I wring out my... bring out my gear after and hang it up, but it wasn't brutal, believe me, not even close. In fact, even Atlanta's been nice. I just got back a little while ago. It's been good.
That's a blessing. Yeah, it's
in fact, last night during the game, it was, because there were some late afternoon showers, and it was 73 degrees at game time. It was
wow.
At one point, I even contemplating putting on an overcoat, you know what I mean, like a pullover kind of thing. So, no, it hadn't been bad.
That's pretty good. I like hearing that. It's fortunate weather, fortunate play by the Rockies. They've won two in a row against Max Scherzer, Max Fried. Safe to say, I don't think we need our buddy Doug Marino to jump in here, and I don't need to use the internet. First time the Rockies have ever won back-to-back games against two guys named Max, who will also probably get votes for the NL Cy Young Award this year. Safe to say, that's a true fun.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't really put together the Maxes. I wasn't focused on that, but more importantly, two one-run games against two guys, as you suggest, are going to receive Cy Young votes, two guys who've been outstanding this year. So yeah, good wins. Again, and forget just the fact that they were able to win one run games, low scoring games, as you'd expect with a Scherzer and a Fried on the mound, but against two of the best teams in baseball. You know, they had to shut down, you know, the Mets offense. They had to, and Herman was terrific the other day. And then they had to shut down an Atlanta Braves offense, which is terrific. And Urania, and the way the thing started, you thought it was going to be pretty ugly again, and it wasn't. And then the bullpen, four innings of shutout baseball, just one hit allowed. So, yeah, it's amazing. When you pitch well, you have a real good chance at winning. Isn't that a novel concept?
That's very true, especially on the road, too, where a couple of runs might be all you get. But it could be enough. Yeah, so much to break down, it feels like, from these two victories and contributions coming from all over the place. I mean, you got two innings out of Justin Lawrence last night, which he's been a really great surprise. Your guest on last week's Drew Goodman podcast, Carlos Estevez, now sees his ERA down in the mid-threes after a lot of really good outings. He stepped in there as that eighth-inning guy with Colome on the IL. He's now back. But Estevez has been big, as you pointed out. The bullpen was really, really good last night in those final four frames.
They were, and everything for me, or I don't want to say everything, but a good portion of how I view things, and I think how you view things too, is, okay, how are the Rockies going to get better? Who is going to be a participant in the Rockies increasing significantly their win total in the not too distant future? I mean, this year is this year, it's done. So they're going to play another 32 games or whatever it is that's left. And it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of it. It's going to be a bad year. The Rockies are going to, you know, finish with a bad record. We know all those things, but who's part of the solution? Well, Justin Lawrence is a guy with really good stuff and is now being pushed into, and some by performance and also some by the, you know, attrition, is being pushed into a situation where he's asked to protect some leads. The stuff, as I said, really good. I'll share with you a story I may have already passed along. I can't remember if it was your podcast or mine. That Dave Roberts had told me, he said he had asked me about Justin Lawrence. He said, guys in our dugout hate when he comes in. So what's that tell you? The vaunted Dodgers don't like seeing Lawrence, which means the stuff, again, is really good. And so last night we saw him for two innings and two really good innings, two really strong innings. So that's a positive, because you look forward and you go, okay, he can be part of protecting leads, you know, down the road going forward. So that's one of the things I took away from last night.
And protect those leads for many, many years to come. Still has a long way until free agency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, real quick, Patrick, I don't mean to interrupt, but I go year to year with relievers. I don't start to look, you know, he's not the Mike Trout of relievers. I hope you're right, dude. I hope you're right. Yeah, he's controllable for a long time, but we know relievers. How many of them are truly remain, you know, forget elite, remain really good for, you know, year after year after year? The old line about relievers, good yet one year, not so good the next year, good the next week. So right now, next year, you could see where he could be a nice piece, you know, in the seventh or eighth inning, potentially. Yeah. I ain't going beyond that. And it's not a knock on Justin Lawrence. Great kid, good stuff, all those things. But, I mean, to suggest 3, 4, 5 years ago from now, he's, you know, he's your closer. Maybe. I don't know. But I take small steps with relievers.
It's true. Yeah, I just wrote about a conversation with Adam Ottavino and how he's had this – very, very long career, a guy who started out in the bullpen for the Rockies. But then, to your point, Philip Deal, who's now with the Mets, but Philip Deal, hey, looked good there for a minute, but it's really hard. You can't have that same trajectory, like you said, with so many position players. But Lawrence is one of those young players that could be here with the Rockies going on down the line. And so thus, we transition to kind of the next generation of Rockies superstars and Rockies players who are going to contribute to the team. And we saw that last night in the major league debut of Michael Tolia. Did you get a chance to talk with him a little bit before the game, see that glint in his eye? He's a big kid, so he doesn't look like a child there, but he did have this childish look on his face of like, oh gosh, my boyhood dreams are coming true.
Well, I did talk to him in the clubhouse for a while before the game. I didn't want to spend a ton of time. I mean, he's preparing, and I've talked to him before, as I know you have, Patrick, and he's a really nice young man. He really is. And I think your description is apt. He, not quite baby face, but it's a young face on a giant, you know, young man. I mean, he's 6'5 and 240 pounds and nimble, moves well around the bag, runs better than you think. You know, he stole some bases in the minor leagues this year. You know, he was ecstatic, as he should be. And I love when a player makes his debut and we get to shoot, you know, mom and dad and, you know, brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and coaches. And, you know, we had one recently, which was fabulous, with Wynton Bernard. And, you know, earlier in the year, Sean Bouchard came up. It's great to see Bouchard get his first big league hit, especially after getting robbed in his first at bat by Vaughn Grissom. But seeing Michael Tolia, and it has a little more potential cachet in that he's one of their top prospects. He's a former number one pick, and he's expected to get to the big leagues, and he's expected to do well. And it may be unfair to say, well, let's see him do well immediately from Jump Street, but he's a guy. I mean, guys get called up. I mean, Wynton Bernard is a beautiful story, a wonderful story. And what I'm about to say is not to take anything away from his story. But at 31, almost 32, he's not looked upon by the Rockies as a prospect, as somebody that is going to be, you know, part of the solution. Now, if he can continue to grow and somehow be, you know, a complementary piece, awesome. I hope that for him. I love that kid, man. I've gotten to know him over the last few weeks. You can't do anything but root for him. But Michael Tolia, Patrick, he's supposed to be a guy. He's supposed to be a guy that plays every day and hits, you know, somewhere in the middle of your order. And yesterday was day one of what you hope is a long and fruitful career.
So, and I know you've seen him before Tuesday night in Atlanta, but do you get Jim Thome vibes? Like, just with the size, the way he hits when he's up from the left side, I feel like there's some body comp. I don't necessarily think Tolia is going to be hitting 500 home runs. I think he's a little more nimble than Thome, but otherwise I'm seeing some comparisons.
Okay. You're beautiful, man. I love you. I hope he has half the career that Jim Thome had, because Thome hit 600 homers, didn't he?
He did.
Right? 600 and some odd, which means he'd hit 300 homers. If you and I are doing this podcast, you know, 15 years from now, and remember that conversation you and I had, Tolia's, he just hit his 300th last night. Isn't that cool? Switch hitting first baseman, hit 300 homers. And he's got 3 gold gloves in his career. I mean, that'd be awesome. That would be one hell of a career. So that's why I was shaking my head. You know, Jim Thome, he's a big, strong guy. He hits from both sides of the plate. So, you know, you gravitate toward, you know, big guys that switch hit. I know, you know, Mark Teixeira's name came up last night. This kid's been a big leaguer for 10 minutes. No, he ain't even been. He's been a big leaguer for 8 seconds. Let's let him develop, hopefully, and see what happens as this thing unfolds. But he's a really nice young man who's got gifts. He's got power on both sides. You know, you look at his minor league numbers, Patrick. You know, even this year in the Eastern League, which is not an easy league at all, you know, he hit in the 230s. Hit homers, 23 homers. So he got elevated to Albuquerque. Albuquerque, little, you know, small snippet, good place to hit. He went off. 7 home runs, 17 ribbies in 17 games, hit 333. Awesome. Got the call up. Tremendous. Now you're facing the best pitching in the world. So let's just let this thing, you know, take its natural course day to day.
Yeah, he talked a little bit post game about, you know, some of the off speed pitches he saw. The first pitch was, you know, curveball from Fried, and it was like, ooh, okay, yep, we're in the majors here, but still stay within yourself. You know, this is still the same game that I've been playing, you know, my entire life. And so you're right. Yes, you can't expect him to go out and be a future Hall of Famer like a Jim Thome immediately. I mean, think back to Ryan Feltner last year. Obviously got called up in September for a couple starts, kind of get his feet wet a little bit. We're seeing him make some growth this year in the majors. Tolia, maybe that growth comes a little bit quicker, but still it is a process to eventually become that finished product that he very well could become. And as we said, really get the train moving here with these prospects that are going to be coming up, and could be just a real perfect confluence of the veterans, the McMahon, the Bryant, you know, Charlie Blackmon for another year, but the pitchers and Freeland and Senzatella that are going to be around going forward. And these young guys, it has a lot of Rockies fans excited for what the future could possibly hold. The future's not here yet, but you know what? It's starting to show up, and totally, I think, is that first domino, which has been exciting.
I agree with you, and I wish, and sort of the Rockies most notably wish that Ezekiel Tovar, you know, didn't get hurt and has been rehabbing for a couple of months, because they'd hoped that he, you know, would be here right now. And I was reading a piece in USA Today about, I think it's Corbin Carroll, one of the top prospects in all of baseball, who was just brought up by Arizona, got a double in his first big league game. And when you're a team that's playing out the string, as the Arizona Diamondbacks are, as the Colorado Rockies are, you want to be able to, the ardent fans want to be able to hang their hat on something and get a glimpse into what will help turn them around. So Arizona, you know, has some young players that they've been playing quite a few young players. Now the Rockies are starting to, you know, filter in the Tolia. We'll see if Tovar, you know, is healthy enough to arrive and get a cup of coffee this year in September. But yeah, those are the things that get me excited. The position player area. The Rockies have some guys, you know, that are going to be here, you know, a little bit this year, as we talked about, next year and in the following year, that potentially really get you excited. The other piece and the most important piece is pitching, and that lags behind, and you win with pitching. So, you know, we'll see how it continues to unfold. But to your original point, yeah, when Atolia comes up, man, I'm excited. I want to see what it looks like.
Yeah, it's great that the Rockies are getting on the prospect season hype here, because, as you said, Corbin Carroll, those five RBI in his first two games. Arizona, the third place Arizona Diamondbacks now. You got the Orioles there, only a couple games out of the wild card, or six games over 500. They just announced on Wednesday one of their top prospects, in fact, top prospect, 21-year-old shortstop, Gunnar Henderson's coming up. So it's great, you know, to see these young guys coming up, the Rockies getting in the mix on that. Now, I got a question for you. I want you to think about it here for a second. With Toley in the lineup, Bouchard there hitting behind him, Jake Bird was warming up at one point, I think, when Estevez got into a bit of a jam. We could have seen three players from UCLA who did actually play together. But can you remember a time in which you had at least two homegrown guys from the same college, probably not high school, but it would probably be, you know, a university that they went to for the Rockies together at the same time? And while you think of that, think about how great the DNVR bar is going to be. We're opening back up on September 9th. We're going to have the big bash opening back up just in time for Broncos. You know, with a membership, only 50 cents for your first month. You get discounts and price breaks on the tailgates. You get that member-sized beer. And your annual membership gets you a free shirt from dnvrlocker.com. Breckenridge Brewery, they're doing some great things as well, because they've got a birthday coming up. It's 32 years for Breckenridge Brewery. Can you believe it? Celebrate with a weekend-long hootenanny. Kick off the fall with live music, food, and beer, of course. October 8th and 9th at their Littleton location. They've got national acts like Spin Doctors and local favorites Railroad Earth rocking out. So stay tuned to everything DNVR for hootenanny giveaways leading up to October 8th. Check out the events.seated.com/hootenanny22 for more details on tickets and artist lineup. Again, events.seated.com/hootenanny22. Link is in the description. And DraftKings Sportsbook, the wait is almost over. Football season is about to begin. NFL Week 1 action starts with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Celebrate the return of football. DraftKings is giving you and new customers a can't-miss offer. You bet $5 on any game, you get $200 in free bets instantly. You want more action for opening night? Well, everyone, you can experience the thrill of DraftKings' early win promotion. Get up 7. That's right, 7-point lead. You win. That's all you need to do. Bet on any NFL team of your choice, and if your team gets a lead by 7 points at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team ends up losing. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code DNVR to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Bonus issued as free bets. One early win token issued at opt-in. Moneyline bets only. Deposit and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Two Bears on the field last night. Can you recall something like that before for the Rockies?
Say it again.
How unique. Two Bruins. Yeah, two Bruins. UCLA Bruins. It's a good trivia question, huh?
Well, with just one school?
Yeah, that's pretty rare. I mean, I don't think anyone else from Tennessee with Todd Helton, right?
Well, there's been some Long Beach guys, but never overlapping. You know, Hampson's a Long Beach guy. Tulowitzki, famously a Long Beach State guy. You know, probably you'd have to find one of those bullpen guys that was with the Rockies for a few months or maybe a year, and you forgot that they went to, you know, a school that one of the position players had gone to. You know, Pat Valaika and Garrett Atkins were both UCLA guys. They didn't overlap. You know, I'm trying to think, Arizona State, you start thinking about the, you know, the kind of the powerhouses.
Right.
It was interesting. The Rockies were playing, I forget what team it was recently, and they had two guys. What team is it? They're two pitchers from Fordham You had to hear me talking about this, Patrick, because Fordham, you know, has only had a few guys that have ever played big league baseball. My dad went to law school there, and so I'm very familiar with Fordham University. And anyhow, there's two pitchers, and they both play for the same team. We'll have to check
Nick
that out.
Nick Martinez.
Who's he with?
With the Padres.
Okay, so it's the Padres. The Padres have two guys from Fordham.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that was unique.
Figure.
And they had two guys from Denver and Steven Wilson. And, well, they did have Tyler Rogers there, too.
And, they on the injured list, they have Pierce Johnson. They had three guys.
That's right.
That's three guys.
Right. Yeah, Pierce has been banged up.
Yeah. You got me thinking now on
this. It's the offseason I hit you with these crazy trivia questions here. But that's a good one to possibly look up. And again, because if you're doing homegrown, I feel like that'll be like easier to do. But you're right. Like a guy just comes in for a minute, you know, then that'll throw a wrench in the works. But
yeah, I mean, like real quick, not to go down this rabbit hole too far. Like think of the current Rockies that went to college. Charlie Blackman, I can't think of the last Georgia Tech guy other than Charlie, at least off the top of my head. And sometimes you lose when it comes to those relief pitchers. You know, Sam Hilliard, Wichita State. I know Sam just got sent out, but CJ Crone, Utah.
That's rare.
Yeah, you know, and then you got guys you like McMahon had committed to SC, but he came out of high school.
Yeah, that's going to cut down
you know, Brendan Rodgers committed to Florida State, but he went out of high school. You know, the Brian Servin, Arizona State. There's got to be some other Arizona State guys at some point, but none that I'm aware of currently. So right now it's that whole UCLA connection.
Yeah.
See, Daniel Bard, North Carolina.
Okay.
But no one else currently from North Carolina, right?
No. I mean, was Matt Holliday set to go to Oklahoma State?
Oh, absolutely.
So, all right, he could have maybe played with Jeff Salazar there for a minute, although Salazar was a little bit before that time.
Yeah. I mean, I think of my partners. Wyoming doesn't play baseball anymore, and obviously Huey didn't play for the Rockies. Spilly, UCSB. I can't remember anybody else from UCSB. And, you know, Corey went to Wake Forest. I can't think of anybody from Wake Forest. So
yeah, it could be a first, at least for the homegrown guys.
Yeah.
That's very much a possibility on that front. Yeah, that's interesting to think about. A couple other interesting notes about Tuesday's 3-2 victory over Atlanta is the fact that Rockies did snap a little losing streak there to Atlanta, of course, earlier in the season. That's how they got hot. They won four straight at Coors Field, first time that they had ever done that. But before that, since 2015, the Rockies actually owned Atlanta between 2015 to 2021, 28-12, a .700 winning percentage. Absolutely fantastic. We did see on Tuesday night a rare error from starting pitcher Max Fried, who is a two-time Gold Glove Award winner. So he's pretty good at that. Things going the Rockies' way. They've got two more in Atlanta. They are plus +255 on DraftKings Sportsbook to win. Veltner versus Kyle Wright on Wednesday. Slightly longer odds, plus +340. Chad Kuhl against Spencer Strider. Someone actually here in the chat mentioned that the Rockies were plus +4-something. And when they won on Sunday, I think they were like plus +410. Something crazy like that. It was one of the highest odds ever in several years. It was like a college football game, I think, that had the next highest odds. So that was definitely strange, and it's going to happen when you are up against a team like the New York Mets or the reigning champs here in Atlanta. Now, Dodgers did win on Tuesday. They beat the Mets. They reached the 90 win mark before September, right? Still August 21st. They do it in 128 games. In franchise history, only the 2017 Dodgers did it in less. They did it in 126 games. So they still have like 20% left of the season to go. That's what's very strange about the late start, because we think of September as, hey, home stretch, it's the final month, but it's still more than a month. Still more than a month. The season does not end until Wednesday, October 5th. So it's over a month left. And yeah, Rockies have played 130 games. And you go, all right, that's really close to 162, but there's still 32 left. There's still a lot to go. So we'll kind of wait and see if there's going to be more guys that get called up, like Michael Tolia. Riley Pint is one of those players that really have been whispered about a lot behind a couple closed doors, we think. Carl Kaufman obviously could be in line. When Buddy talked about, you know, some fresh faces. Look, Ryan Vallade, he got a little taste late in 2021. Could he be back now? Possibly. You know, Alan Trejo is still down there. So there's some names that you are familiar with that are on the 40-man that we haven't seen much of. They certainly could come up. But as far as faces and names we don't know quite as much about, at least in person at Coors Field, Riley Pint, Carl Kaufman definitely have to lead that list. Maybe even a Noah Davis, perhaps. But Rockies are eliminated from the NL West contention. You might have heard about that a couple days ago. Magic number still in the high teens for the final wild card spot. We're gonna have to wait and see what happens with that. I say that was a throwaway phrase. It was a transitional phrase. Look, we know what's gonna happen. We do, and that's that. So we'll look towards 2023, which, hey, the social media account actually did, because spring training schedule is out. So look, if you're planning to go down to Scottsdale, I recommend you do. I definitely recommend you do. It is a great time, especially late February and in March when it's still can be a little bit cold in Colorado. Maybe you want to make it a last minute trip. You know, if there's bad weather coming, you want to get out before that and enjoy some, you know, 80 degree temperature days. Definitely tap into that, but it's a great time. It's a good drive too. It's a very solid drive. There's two routes you can get in if it's not too snowy. You know, you can go on I-70, take that route, you know, kind of cut down Grand Junction or Moab. You'd go through Moab, go that way, or you can go the New Mexico Colorado Springs route. So it's 13 hours. You know, if you really want to hammer it out, you could get it done in one day. I have done that. It's not that crazy, but those are some things to think about as we get incredibly close to the off season. And you have to really start thinking about Aaron Judge right now. I'm not going to say thinking about him challenging Barry Bonds' record, because it's just, there's no way you can hit 73 in today's day and age. But maybe 70, he's going to have to heat up a decent amount. So if you say there's 20% of the season left, well, mathematically, you know, he could end up with 66, 67, something like that. He gets to the 51 home run mark before September, which matches Giancarlo Stanton, his teammate, when he was with the Marlins in 2017. Roger Maris had 51 going into September. Mark McGwire had 50 or more, or 51 or more twice, 55 and 51. Luis Gonzalez actually did it. He had 51. Bonds has the most before September in 57. And Sammy Sosa did it three times, 55, 55, 52. Now, Judge is going to have the most games left to play. That's going to be of definite benefit to him. And, you know, that is going to allow him to make it close. But I sort of feel like he's not getting maybe enough attention for what he's doing. And, you know, and that's okay. That's okay. That happens. You know, Otani, I think still, I don't know how much we're appreciating him right now and what he's able to do. I think people are, but I mean, it should really be appointment viewing. Like every single night he's on the mound, or when he's up at the plate, MLB Network needs to cut in on that. Same thing with Aaron Judge at bats. It's the same thing that we had here in Colorado when Nolan Arenado was at third base. You were going to get a show and it was going to be exciting. And now that he's gone, boy, oh boy, do I miss seeing that guy play third base defensively. I didn't consider myself a big, you know, fan or a guy that put a big surplus on defense. But after getting to watch Arenado play for so long, it really gave me a new appreciation for that aspect of the game, and particularly for his style of play and the balls that he was able to get to and make it look so easy. That's where the whole Arenado meter went, right? That's where that comes from. So it's MLB Network could do a better job at, I think, highlighting some of the best players in the game. I was having a conversation with someone recently about the Savannah Bananas and what they're doing and how wacky it is. And they didn't quite understand, you know, why a guy on stilts is of any value, but look, they're doing something different. They're not literally trying to sell the game of baseball, but they're trying to turn some baseball fans around, right? If you're down the sport or if you're not even into the sport at all, you go to a Savannah Banana game, you're going to have a great time. They've actually dropped out of the Coastal Plains League. So they were actually a summer collegiate team. So we've got a couple of them in Colorado. And, you know, the guy who runs the show there, I should know his name, Jesse. His name is Jesse Cole. There you go. Just came to me. Jesse Cole, man. He's just a promoter. And he said, let's make every game the best possible game that anyone has ever gone to. And they sell out with college players, that some that will never, you know, play professionally. They'll never even play in the minor leagues. Most of them don't even play in the majors. I don't know of any notable Savannah Bananas who made it to the majors, but bottom line, he's selling the game. And so MLB is doing what they can to try to sell the game. They're doing new things. We've got the World Baseball Classic coming up next year, next spring. In fact, during spring training, there'll be some qualifiers going on up through that point. You know, I know over in I believe it was Germany, they had some qualifiers a week or two ago. So some of that's happening for those final seedings, those final spots in the World Baseball Classic. MLB is trying to expand the game. They're going to have a Korea series where they're going to send some MLB players over to South Korea in November. I don't really have any more information than that. I want to say it might even be the first time that they've gone over to Korea in 100 years. It's like the 100th anniversary of Babe Ruth going over there in 1922. So they've done the Japan series, you know, a little bit. They used to do it more frequently, now not as much. So that'll be something that we will keep you posted on, and definitely want to get Drew Goodman's opinion on that. I'm going to be talking with him here in just a second, getting his thoughts on some other business that the Rockies are dealing with right now. But the last piece of news did come out on Tuesday. Padres Giants next season, April 29th and 30, a quick two-game series in Mexico City at Estadio Alfredo Harp Helú. It will actually be the first regular season game in Mexico City. We know the Rockies have gone down there to play exhibition games in spring training, typically against the Arizona Diamondbacks. This will be the first official regular season game in Mexico City. So, you know what? For some of the crap I might give MLB and MLB Network from time to time, there is still a lot that they are doing right. So, got to give them credit for that. And I got to give Sexy Pizza a lot of credit for satiating my pizza urges. I've got pizza needs, and Sexy Pizza always fulfills that for me. They've got four in the Denver area. They've been in the community for 13 years plus now. I think actually it might even be closer to 15 years at this point. Capitol Hill, Old South Pearl, Jefferson Park, and Park Hill. You can actually check them out, www.sexy.pizza. Here's why. Not just because you're going to get some great hand-tossed deck oven pizza with made-from-scratch each morning dough. No, it's because they love donating to local organizations. They want to support your event or your organization, whatever it may be. So when you go to www.sexy.pizza, you can check out their about page for the donations link to see how Sexy Pizza can support your cause. And that's also true of their location down in Trinidad, Colorado as well. Take a drive. It's a bit of a ways, but guess what? If you're down in that area, that's one of the only spots you can go to guarantee that you're going to get a really good and a real fresh slice of pizza. Look, you can guarantee the best dental care a lot closer to your home, 15 minutes from downtown Denver, with Green Mountain Dental Group. Gosh, they keep not just smiles on our faces, but pearly white smiles on our faces. And they're hooking you up right now with a $300 discount for a full orthodontics treatment for new patients that mention DNVR Sports. That's it. just mention us, and they're going to hook you up with that. If you get a cleaning, exam, an x-ray, if you're a new patient, guess what? They're going to hook you up with a $350 value, a free set of bleach trays. I've used them. I was a little fearful at first, but they're going to hook you up and make sure they put a really good product in your mouth that's not going to make your teeth feel sensitive. It's not going to taste funny. It's actually a very simple process that I was scared about. I feel a little silly now about it, but don't take my word for it. Take Green Mountain Dental Group's word for it and take their free set of bleach trays at Green Mountain Dental Group. How great was it for you to observe kind of secondhand, third hand, even the Rockies players enjoying seeing all the Mets old timers there over the weekend at Citi Field? Because I think so many people look at them as like, man, these guys are at the peak. They're at the pinnacle. They're at the top of the food chain, but they don't exactly see themselves in that manner. They weren't always at the top. There was a time where they were in the middle or the bottom of the food chain, and there were guys that were at the top, and they got to see those players, the Mike Piazzas, you know, Keith Hernandez, et cetera. And that inner child definitely seemed to have come out of them this past weekend.
I was very pleased to see a lot of guys took it in, and I'm going to talk a fair amount about it on my podcast that'll come out tomorrow. Kyle Freeland is my guest this week, and Freeland was pitching that night, as you well know, Patrick, and you also know that starting pitchers, you know, especially intense ones, is you don't visit with them, and it's kind of hands off, and they're off in their own world and thoughts, and they're not standing in the dugout 2 hours before they're going to pitch watching stuff go on the field. Kyle Freeland was not only, he didn't just pop up for 3 or 4 minutes, he took it all in. And I was pleased, as I said, to see a number of guys take in what was transpiring on the field. And the vast majority of the players that were there for the Mets celebrating Old Timers Day, they didn't see play unless it was on a video, or maybe they had heard of their name, certainly with the Hall of Famers, Pedro Martinez and Mike Piazza, and, you know, they're prominent names there, Al Leiter. But, you know, then you go back with like the Felix Mians and the Art Shamskys and the Ed Crane Pools from 1969. And I can't imagine that any of those names resonated with today's players. And it's not a knock on today's players, but I applaud, you know, the Rockies, and I'm sure on the far side, the current Mets were taking it in because they're appreciative of the guys that came before them, and they're appreciative of guys that could perform long enough to have not only individual accomplishments, but collective accomplishments. And in the case of, you know, having an Old Timers Day in New York with the Mets covering 60 years, it covers the Miracle Mets naturally of 69, you know, that will go down, forgive my bias, as one of the, you know, storied World Series champions of all time because of how bad they were, and that they were, you know, in 62, they were, you know, a first-year franchise, an expansion franchise. And then, of course, the 86 Mets, which, you know, were an infamous bunch as well because they won 108 games during the regular season. They truly were a great, great team. Nearly were done, and then there was the error, and then as we learned in the aftermath and Jeff Perlman's wonderful book chronicling, you know, the bad guys won, they're one of the most famous World Series championship teams, and I think many of those names guys were familiar with that were currently, you know, standing and watching as they prepared for their game. So it was special, man. It really was.
I hadn't thought about the Kyle Freeland business there. Yeah, that was his start, and yet he was going out there and absorbing all that, and Mazins versus the Miracles, and you know, the big surprise, Willie Mays, you know, got his number retired, their number 24, which obviously most people don't think of him as a New York Met, and they really shouldn't, and I think a lot of Mets fans might not even necessarily think of him entirely like that, but he was there for, you know, parts of two seasons for something like 120-some games, but yet still had an importance, and, you know, there was a promise made to a degree that his number would be retired, and so I thought, I sort of said, okay, well, again, how does this relate to the Rockies? And it made me think, well, you know, maybe Don Baylor's that guy. I think Don Baylor's contributed a lot more towards the Rockies than what Willie Mays did for the Mets. But, you know, Mays, obviously the marquee name and brought some stature to the Metropolitans there. But if anyone was going to get a surprise number retirement ceremony, I would think and hope that for the Rockies, it would be a guy like Don Baylor, where, you know, if you don't know the history very well, that might surprise you a bit.
You know, Patrick, I love that call. I love the analogy you just made. Like, who could have their number retired where everybody went, whoa, I never saw that one coming. And then as they let it settle in, say, hey, I'm good with that, man. I think that's apropos. And I, without thinking in depth about it, because I had not, you know, made the analogy, how would it play out if the Rockies were to do something that, you know, caught everybody by surprise, in that vein, a number retirement. I think that would be a really interesting one, because he was the first manager, and it was not a tenure without accomplishment at the time in 95 when the Rockies were a wild card team. That was the fastest an expansion team had ever gotten to the postseason. So Baylor had success as a manager of a fledgling franchise, and so universally respected, came back years later as a hitting instructor. And, you know, I guess part of his story is the tragedy that, you know, we lost Donnie, you know, at a young age. By today's standards, certainly, right? So I love that thought. I really do. And I would not, you know, sometimes a guy's number is retired, and it is, you know, controversial a little bit, or people feel like it's a reach. And I'm going to bring up a couple, and I say this not to in any way slight their accomplishments or their importance at the time to a franchise. But, you know, there's some people in the Ring of Fame with the Broncos early on that you look back now and say, okay, was that a little bit of a force because you were trying to create tradition, trying to create a quick history of a franchise? And I think the standard has risen, so there may be some players. Not, and I'll just leave those out. You can probably look up there yourself and say, yeah, you know, nice player, but really, you know, 3 or 4 years and boom, they're in the Ring of Fame. But I think the Broncos then were trying to create, you know, a history. And I think if you looked at those guys' resumes, some of them, and fast forward to today and say, would that get you in the Ring of Fame? You'd, you know, unequivocally say no. I look at, you know, real quick, you know, with the Avalanche when Raymond Bourque had his number retired. Everybody loved Raymond Bourque, and it was a fabulous move by Pierre Lacroix to get Bourque from Boston, where he's a legend, and get him to Denver, and certainly help get the Avalanche over the top for that cup and get Raymond Bourque a cup, right? But he got his jersey retired, his sweater, his Avalanche sweater retired. And he played, what, 2 years, less than 2 years, and a year and a half or whatever it was in an Avalanche sweater. I don't care. It's great. I remember the story and remember it fondly. And I know what a class act and what an unbelievable player Raymond Bourque was, even in the latter part of his career. But people go, wait a second, and it raised an eyebrow. So, you know me, I can get off on a tangent. I really like what you did there, Patrick. And if one day, you know, Dick Monfort is standing around the pitcher's mound and there's a, you know, the canvas out there of some kind and there's a, you know, it's covered and all of a sudden they unveil 25, boy, I'd stand and applaud because, you know, I think Don Baylor did mean a lot to the foundation of this franchise.
Yeah, no, you make great points. I mean, Bork and Mays kind of have that similarity as far as the marquee name, but it wasn't, you know, wasn't around very much. Mm-hmm. Connection between the name and the number, you know, like there's a lot of symbolism and symmetry in that as well.
Yeah, and where even that is a little bit unfair to Mays for me, Patrick, and you and I are both, you know, grew up in the New York metropolitan area, is that Willie Mays was he's from Alabama, but Willie Mays became a New York icon playing for the New York Giants. And then the Giants, you know, in 58 were on the West Coast all of a sudden. Willie Mays came up in 1951. Willie Mays became great in New York. And then, yeah, he played in San Francisco for a number of years. The Mets brought him back. Ray Bourque had no connection to Colorado.
This is true. This is true. I'm very much for those building blocks of the Hall of Fame, because I think if you don't do that, then you might not have a Hall of Fame. And so I'd rather err on that side of like, again, it's the hall, you know, small hall versus a big hall. Sometimes small halls don't exist because they're too small, so it's not worth the effort. Give me a big hall. I don't care. Let's put everybody in. We just want to see one for the Rockies. I think that would be tons of fun. And again, as you said, like with Don Baylor, I think once people really start digging into it, you realize, shoot, you know what? We weren't paying attention to Joe Kennedy. This guy he could spin it, man. He had a fantastic season. Gabe White, holy smokes. All right, I had season tickets and I barely remember this guy. But look at his numbers. He was really good. Cool, let's bring him back and share some of those stories. I think it could be a lot of fun, much like the Drew Goodman podcast this week, because you always have fun. But I have a feeling you're having a little extra pep in your step here, going back home to New York. And talking with Freeland too after that matchup against fellow Colorado and David Peterson, I thought it was a pretty cool weekend. I was a little jealous there.
Yeah, one of the great treats and privileges that we have to do what we do, Patrick, and you travel some, and you know we're out on the road, and you never know, because we're baseball fans at heart. Yeah, we want to see the Rockies do well. You know, I work for the entity that covers, you know, on television, the Rockies every single day. I desperately want the Rockies to succeed. But in addition, we're baseball fans, man. We're sports fans. So when something great happens, even though that person may wear a different uniform, we can stand back and appreciate it. And when you are in a ballpark and they're celebrating somebody that did something, or having an old timers day, in this case with the Mets, or when you're in Detroit and the great Miguel Cabrera produces his 3000th hit. And yeah, it came against the Rockies. So what? I'm thrilled that I can say I was there, just like I can say I was there and behind the mic, though it's not going to be my call attached to it, obviously, when Craig Biggio went 5 for 5 and produced his 3000th hit against the Rockies, when Ichiro had his 3000th hit, when Barry Bonds hit his, as controversial as he may be, hit his 715th home run against Byung-Young Kim over the center field wall at then AT&T Park in San Francisco. So all that matters. And it's a wonderful thrill and privilege to, you know, travel around and sometimes be, you know, witness to really memorable things. And I was struck by what Howie Rose said, and I'll talk about this on my podcast. Howie Rose, a longtime radio voice, as you know, Patrick, of the Mets, and he said, you know, I've done World Series games and NLCS championship, you know, series games, and you know, seen, you know, huge moments, and being there and narrating the old timers game and introducing all those players, it was like the biggest thrill of his career. And that kind of spoke to how impactful it was for, you know, followers of the Mets, certainly, but I think also for those that are baseball fans in general.
That's amazing. And it's fitting that it's amazing. This conversation about the Mets and everything. So that's fantastic. Yeah. Well, you know, listener number one, that's it. Once you start printing up cards for all of the folks that subscribe to the Drew Goodman podcast, please make sure that I get number one.
You are every week. And Patrick, you're going to, I know, cause you know, and one of the great things about, you know, Kyle's been on before naturally on the podcast, and I, you know, he probably comes on once a year because I don't want to overdo it. But I love having conversations with Kyle because, A, he's smart. 1A, he brings that intensity and honesty to every answer of a question he's going to give. It's not a cliche. He has a burning desire to win as a club. He cares greatly, as we all know, about the city of Denver and the state of Colorado and the region that he calls home. So he's candid on a lot of topics this week. And, you know, if you're a fan of Kyle, you're a fan of the Rockies, or a fan of baseball, you'll definitely want to enjoy this one in particular.
Yeah. You're going to get a big uptick there with the hometown guy. Got to make sure you're supporting him, supporting the Drew Goodman podcast, dropping every Thursday. Subscribe to that. Follow him on Twitter at DrewGoodman42. I'm at Patrick D. Lyons on Twitter. Of course, make sure you're following Susie Hunter at the Susie Hunter, and our main account at DNVR_Rockies. Good. Appreciate you coming on today. But look, you know what they say about momentum? It's only as good as your next show. So we'll talk to you then.